the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back in.
Welcome back to Walk It Off. Thanks for coming to hang out with us today. I'm Danny Wexelman with Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez as always. Hey, Ash, real quick question for you. How's that blizzard? Oh, wait. How's that sunny weather out there in LA treating you?
I mean, I heard the snow wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay.
I heard did the you? Snow was okay.
Did you hear that?
I did hear that. I heard that. I heard that from my friends whose flights got canceled, so they got to stay in LA a little bit longer while it was around 85 degrees.
You heard that from someone who was in LA that the snow wasn't that bad?
Interesting. Yeah.
No, their flights got canceled. No, their flights got canceled for no reason. That's what it was. They were like, we could have gone back in. But
that's not true.
Decided
that's
not to.
A lie.
Gemma, how was your blizzard?
Well, I did not come into the office. I stayed at my house, and it was really loud because it was mostly like ice pellets, and I have a lot of windows. So all day I could just hear the ice hitting the windows.
Yeah.
And then there was thundersnow, which was pretty crazy.
Thundersnow is one of my all-time favorite things ever because it's such like a magical unicorn. You only see it every once in a while.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, the hail hurt. But for the rest of the country who didn't have to go through this, I'm happy for you. It wasn't as terrible as last January when we got 26 inches, but it was a trek through the snow, I won't lie. But we made it out alive. And we have a really great show for you today. A lot of really cool things going on. We're going to talk, obviously, March Madness. We're going to talk U.S. women's hockey. There's a little bit of breaking news coming out about that. Obviously, World Baseball Classic, because that is the big thing right now. There's so many cool things happening. And then we've got a couple other cool stories for you guys. But we're going to kick things off with a little trend or trash. March Madness, we are about to be in the thick of it. It's Wednesday, March 15th, and the real big-time tournament starts on Thursday. So if you don't have your picks in, it's due by noon Eastern on Thursday. I don't have mine. But what I want to know, guys, is trend or trash? Are we going for the Cinderella story? Are we going for the favorites? Ash, kick it off.
I mean, I always go Cinderella. And right now, it seems like Duke is kind of a Cinderella in a strange way. You know? Because they, I mean, I know that's garbage, but I feel like... And when I was filling out my bracket, I was like, God, all roads are leading me to pick Duke, and I refuse. I refuse. So I didn't. But it did kind of feel that way, which is stupid. I don't like that at all. But I think it's just because we have so many, like, mid-market great teams now that it's making it way more exciting. So we get an opportunity to have many Cinderellas at once, which is awesome. As far as picking a Cinderella, do you guys have any idea who you think? I have no idea. I feel like everyone is on a weird playing field now, different than – years before, you know what I mean? So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's hard to say, like, this one team. But that's what's fun about March Madness, right, is that you can't really guess who the Cinderella is before because you never know.
Yes.
Like, when Michigan State lost so fast last year, it's just like, what is happening? Like, how is this actually happening? So I think that you can't really guess those things, mostly because a lot of these teams, like, you've only seen them play teams of equal skill for most part, or you haven't even seen them play at all, because where would you see them play if you're not, like, actively seeking them out, and they're usually these schools that you don't really pay a lot of attention to, so it's kind of hard to guess. But I love upsets. I love it. I love them. I love brackets breaking immediately. So I trend the Cinderella picks. I trend everyone's bracket being broken on day one. That's my favorite thing.
Okay,
so I straight up sat at Michigan State versus Miami for like maybe three solid minutes, like, oh God, don't you dare do this to me again. Don't you dare. And I'm sure everyone else did. Pretty sure we all sat there staring at that matchup like, oh Lord, we got to go with our gut, right? Can't just go with Miami. I don't know what to do. But anyways, Danny, sorry.
No.
Go on.
Ash, I'm, first of all, okay, a few things I need to address. I'm shocked
that
you're going with Duke as the Cinderella.
That's actually insane.
Coach K was gone.
I'm not going with them as Cinderella. I said it's almost as if they're kind of a Cinderella this year in comparison to what they usually are. That's what I meant.
No,
they're having a weird year.
I'll totally give you that, but it's like first world problems for them. Like Coach K was gone for a little bit.
Yeah.
Grayson Allen was being, you know, a bit of a temper tantrum on the court. It is interesting because obviously they got a great review by the selection committee and people expect them to do well, but they have had their ups and downs this season. So talking about Michigan State, so Middle Tennessee is the one who beat Michigan State last year. Mm-hmm. They're up against Minnesota. That's one of my upsets. They've got most of their team back. And they already know how to do it. They know how to be the Cinderella. So I think that that plays in their favor. I have Vermont over Purdue. Vermont went 29-5
I have Vermont
season.
Too.
Yes.
Yes.
And they're all about the defense. For me, defense wins games. So I'm all about that.
I do too. Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. I have Princeton over Notre Dame. I love a good Ivy League upset. And
ooh.
Then I have East Tennessee over Florida. They've got a guy, TJ Cromer. I think Florida is, they're not going to know what hits them. So for me, Cinderella trend all the way. I want to see those teams. Florida Gulf Coast, I want to see Dunk City come back.
Yes.
I don't know if they will, yes. But everyone wants to see it. There's nothing better. This is what the tournament is
yes.
for. And, you know, bust my bracket. I don't care.
I always put both Michigan and Michigan State at least in the Elite Eight because I don't, uh-huh. I just genuinely don't care about any other college basketball
Why not?
Teams. But I actually do think that Michigan does kind of have a chance to be a little bit of a dark horse, which is, you know, surprise that they have not been particularly notable. But I actually think coming into this, they have a little bit of a case. So.
Ash,
for once, it might not be a totally waste of time.
So those yeah. are sure. green teams, and that's a blue and maize, I believe, mm-hmm. team.
Yeah.
But Ash, you have a little knowledge on why you should be picking teams with orange and blue in their uniform colors, yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have knowledge because I read an article,
yes.
so it's not like
Tell
I really
me.
Looked into this.
Tell
but,
me the knowledge.
So NCAA has this amazing article on their site right now. I mean, they have a bunch of fun ones on how to pick, like, your winners and your upsets and this and that for various fun ways, like via mascots and this and that. But they have one weird statistical article about how blue teams more often than not win. Like,
wow.
almost, I mean, my God. And when you think about it, it's like, yes, of course, like, there are so many blue teams. Of course, this is the case. But they really break it down to almost say, what's it called? God, I can't think of the word. What's it called? Like per capita situation.
Okay.
Where you have teams that are like yellow, which are a small percentage of the teams in all of NCAA, winning a ton of games. So yellow is like second or third up in there. So it's not just about red and blues because there's a lot of them. It's just that it happens to be a blue or orange. It's orange. Blue or orange, Victor.
Yeah.
Almost every single time, which is crazy. And poor Brown. Brown's really... down
Not
in the dumps
there.
About that. They only got like 8 teams and they're never winning. But yeah, it is a really fun way to play with your brackets, to look at some weird stats as far as college basketball goes and stay away from all those crazy nut stats. We need breaks sometimes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's fun. Check it out. NCAA.com. You'll see it. Something about weird bracket stuff.
And we have to remind you that the chances of perfection are still in the neighborhood of 1 in 2 billion. So, you know, that's always, always exciting. But we're going to move on to the World Baseball Classic because there are some crazy things happening. We're talking about Javi Baez celebrating before he even tagged a guy out at second. We're talking about the plantains. We're talking about the crazy hair from Hector Santiago. Dramatic bat flips. The WBC has it all. But trend or trash, are these guys taking it too far? Will this carry over into the season where in Major League Baseball, I would say it's a little more conservative on the side of celebrating? Are the guys taking it too far? Gemma?
Trash that idea. No, they're not taking it too far. This is awesome. The amount of emotion we're seeing, like, we all love the World Cup. At least I'm speaking for myself and Ashley. I don't know if you love the World
Cup. I love the World
but
Cup.
One thing that
everyone
so,
does.
Yes,
yeah.
everyone does. And the reason you love it so much is because you get a chance to feel this warmth of national pride, and everything means so much because you're doing it for this for every you're all on the same team for once, you know? And that is a very contained time. It's a short tournament. So, you know, the DR, like, celebrating home runs, or the Puerto Rico celebrating home runs, like, they come out and they're so excited every time. And that is so different from being like, okay, it's game 65.
Yes.
Here we go. Like, I think there's obviously a difference. So we're not going to see crazy bat flips all through during the regular season. That's not going to come back.
Yeah.
Like, this is a different set of stakes, and it's really fun to watch people play for them because it's like you get that postseason shot of adrenaline, but it's not the postseason.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
And it's so exciting. So
yeah.
I don't think it's possible to have too much fun
okay.
in the World Baseball Classic. I think this is perfect and beautiful, and I think this has been one of the best iterations of the World Baseball Classic as well, because it's every game almost has been a nail biter, and I just love it so much.
Gemma's stamp of approval. Ash,
yes.
what do you got?
I'm going to trash that idea as well, just because Gemma's exactly right. This is all about fun. This is about fun and patriotism in the best way. It's so great. So nice to watch these guys with their brothers just go nuts all the time. They have really, I mean, they have rules because they want to win, so they follow the proper rules, but they also are allowed to have fun. And we all, in turn, are allowed to have fun because of this and celebrate and, like, watch these crazy things that we usually wouldn't. My only concern is that, and this is not exactly what I want, but people will get hurt, like Salvador Perez did. I think he'll be fine, but whatever. Things will happen, and then it's going to come down to, like, well, this is why we can't have nice things situation. Because this is a business. This is a huge thing. These are people's careers. So I'm just so worried that something terrible, like, will happen and it ruins everyone's fun. So let's hope that it stays at the pace that it is, because seriously, every single time we've watched this, I mean, I've only been watching it three times now. Yes. And it has gotten better and better and better. You see how much fun people are having to join, because this is your opportunity to go out, show your personality, play for your team, and have the best month of your life instead of just doing boring old spring training stuff. So just kidding, spring training's fine. But no, it is so much fun to watch. It does feel like the postseason, and it's so great. And anyone, like, I mean, you have little, like, teams like Italy and stuff that you are just going for, maybe even a little harder than your actual country. And that's what makes it so much fun. There's so much camaraderie and greatness. And this is heartwarming and fun. Fun, so, fun, fun.
Fernando Rodney, like,
I think we
please
said that about 35 times. I said the word fun.
It's fun. It is so fun. It's so, you're so right. Like, shot of adrenaline from the postseason. Like, bring it to the WBC. Fernando Rodney, like, bring your plantains to the regular season. I want to see them in game 162. Like, bring the plantains. Bring the fun. Carlos Martinez with getting in on that action. Hector Santiago, maybe, like, don't use Sharpie. I hope you're not using Sharpie for your hair. But, like, I want to see the
person.
I want to see the personality. I want to see these things. These people shine. Like, this is what we love. Yeah. Maybe not the Sharpie. But, I mean, I love it. I completely agree. This is how the game should be celebrated. Make baseball fun again. Let the guys do these things. Let people show who they are. Let's not, like, box you in and make you be a certain way. Let's let you shine.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason that it should be different from being on a national team for soccer, because those guys all have their regular clubs that they play for too, for the most part.
Yeah.
So it's like you have your regular team and you play your regular life, and then you go play in the World Cup and you have immense, insane goal celebrations and you become a national hero for like a month. And that's really cool. And I'm really glad that these guys have this opportunity to do this. And also that we get to see all these international players from places that we would otherwise never get to see.
Yeah.
And I think that while there is some concern about, oh, someone might get injured, you know, like Chris Archer, who was pitching four perfect innings, but then got pulled because there was a deal with his organization. They're like, you can't really pitch more than this.
Yeah.
You know, that is its own thing. We can talk about that at length another time, but I think that we shouldn't necessarily say that one kind of baseball is more important than another.
Totally.
Like, watching Nolan Arenado slide headfirst into first base, which, don't do that, but, you know, but the fact that he did,
yeah,
was just like, yeah, you should have this passion for this international baseball, because he wants to win for the U.S. That's so cool.
Right.
And it makes me excited for my home team, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting that that sometimes your pride for your country is bigger than the team. And you see that in, I think, all sports, any sports that have these big tournaments, you know, and the Olympics, obviously, like, the Olympics are the biggest thing, but I would love to see it carry over into your team. Like, let me see that exclamation point every time. I want to see you run that ball out every time and give your all, because that's what, like, what makes sports so magical.
Yeah.
That's why we watch.
So much magic.
So much magic. Okay, so a little bit of breaking news, like I said earlier. So the U.S. women's hockey team, they're threatening to boycott if they don't see progress in fair wages in their game, which is obviously, how could you argue with that? It's kind of an unprecedented move. We've seen the U.S. women's soccer team stand up, and we've seen them speak out, but we haven't seen a team boycott. And so if by March 31st they don't see progress in fair wages, then they will be boycotting this tournament. It's the IIHF Women's World Championship. It's in Plymouth, Michigan. So trend or trash, is this the right move to be making, to boycott, to not play, to stop what you're doing, to stop your momentum, and say, put your foot down and say, we're not going to play anymore if you don't give us equal pay and fair wages? Ash?
This is so, so difficult to talk about, because we all know why, and it's the elephant in the room. It's just not popular enough to do that, and that's what sucks. But I do think that they're doing the right thing, because what else can you possibly do? I mean, I don't know what else they should do. They need to put their foot down some way, but the odds are stacked against them because people are not watching women's hockey. And that's just the bottom line. And it's terrible. And so I hope that they have success in this whole thing, because that will really give everyone, the entire world should gain motivation from that, because look what they just did. They had no one back, and then they have like little to no support. They went on a strike, and then they made it out okay, which is great. So we're all hoping for the best and that they get what they want. As far as like equal, I don't think that that's actually possible, just because not enough money comes in for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It has to be fair. You know, we can't just take some things from NHL and give it to the Women's Hockey League because it's not the same business. But I do think that they should certainly have programs for women in the youth department, like just like the little boys, maybe have something combined where you have, you know, the little girls workshop and the little boys workshop, but all under the same umbrella. I don't see how that's difficult at all. And just promote the sport from that age so that we can gain more and more popularity through it. And that way women can get closer to being on the NHL level. I mean, but it's obviously been a struggle for women's sports that are super popular, like soccer, like WNBA. Like, they're trying to do the same thing. It's just harder for us out there in the sports world right now. But I do think that we are gaining momentum, and I do think things are looking up for women's sports. So, I mean, kudos to them for just saying, like, hell no, we're striking right now. We're going to do something about this. And I wish them the best of luck. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I agree on every level, basically, which is that it's so frustrating to me, because when the NHL had its lockouts, I think it really did decrease interest in the sport of hockey itself. I know that I was a big hockey fan in middle school and high school, and then, you know, the lockout happened, and I definitely lost a little bit of interest. I'm back on the hockey bandwagon now, but, like, that definitely was something that happened, and I think happened for a lot of people. So whenever that happens, whenever any – so this, for a sport for women's hockey that already has a smaller audience than the NHL, I really do think that they risk a similar situation, which is losing people that might otherwise be engaged. But that's so frustrating, and it's this like Ashley said, it's this bind where what else can you do? Because otherwise it really is just these women being taken advantage of in some way, saying like, okay, well, if you can't strike because you're not popular enough, so you have to keep playing for this to get popular. But like, when is that moment? Mm-hmm. When does the moment come when you say, I have to put my foot down? Mm-hmm. And it's just exhausting and frustrating to know that a lot of women's teams are being put in this position, which is saying, if you don't keep doing this thing for less, then no one will care about you. But how can you determine when someone cares enough? You can't, really. So you just have to take a chance. It's really frustrating, because I just don't know how this will turn out. I think we should trend it, because people should talk about it.
Yeah.
People should talk about what's happening here. It's just a frustrating issue.
So this women's team has won gold in 6 of the last 8 world championships. I don't know many men's teams who could say that.
Yeah.
What I think this team is doing is laying a really strong foundation for future women, right? We see this a lot. Mm-hmm. We're not necessarily going to see the change this year. If they boycott, will they lose interest with people who are already big fans? Maybe, or maybe those people will rally around and maybe more people will start to come in and be like, wait a second, no one does this. Like, how badass of you to stand up and do something that no one is willing to do. Why has no one for the U.S. women's soccer team been willing to do that? It's such a dramatic move. There's no doubt about it. The mm-hmm. backlash could be huge. You could lose sponsors. You could lose a lot of people who are invested in you by taking a stand. But isn't that worth the risk of the change, right? Like, yeah. Anyone who's ever made a positive change had to risk and sacrifice so much. So obviously, trend to these women for mm-hmm. potentially taking this stand and making this boycott. You know, it'll be really interesting to see what happens. All right, so we're going to move on to some fun, quick stories. All right, the NHL is close to signing a deal with Citi Field to host the next Winter Classic. It's going to be Rangers Sabres. Anyone a Sabres fan? I'd like to speak to the Winter Classic overall and how cool it is to see hockey played in a different venue. I think any sport played in a different venue is always really cool. I went to the one in St. Louis this year with Blues Blackhawks, and I can say without a doubt one, like, top three events that I've ever been to. And I think it's just also because St. Louis lost the Rams. They have the Blues and they have the Cardinals. They're hoping for an MLS team, but, you know, fans wanted to rally around and do something that they've never got the chance to do, and it was electric. I've never been in a crowd like that. I've never been to a playoff game. I haven't been to many, but I've never been to anything that compared to that. So I'm all for the Winter Classic.
I'm very pro Winter Classic. Yes.
Ash?
I mean, I want to go so badly. I love going to hockey games, and I would absolutely love to see something in a different venue, like you said. Probably won't be going to the Citi Field one, but maybe I'll go to Denver or something. It would be really, really cool.
Denver would be
that
awesome.
Would actually be really fun. Yeah,
wouldn't that be great? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, this one is amazing. Charles Barkley is going to challenge LeVar Ball to a game of one-on-one. The backstory, Mr. Ball has three sons who he claims he will be signing a shoe deal worth $1 billion, collectively getting them $1 billion in a shoe deal. Not million, billion. So Charles Barkley's like, hold up, wait a second. Like, I want to play you on one-on-one. Like, can your sons even ball? So fun fact, Mr. Ball averaged 2 points per game in college. So, can I have some thoughts on Mr. Ball's chances against Charles Barkley?
Well, I mean, like, how old is Charles Barkley now? Like,
Chuck's up there. He's
saying,
up there.
I'm saying it might
45, 48.
I'm saying it might be closer than you think it's going to be.
Okay.
I still think that there's a definite winner, but it might be closer than you think it's going to be.
Ash?
I mean, I want it to be a close game too. I'm looking forward to this so badly. It's so great. I mean, we've all seen Barkley like do little things during like halftime shows and stuff. You know, they have that hoop in there and they mess around with each other. Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna go. Also, I want one of the sons to have a $1 billion contract, just one of them, or none of them to ever make it to anything. I want one or nothing, basically. I'll be so happy with both those things.
That's an
and
ultimatum.
Chances are we're going to forget all about this next year, but I'm going to try my hardest to remember that this happened. I promise.
I hope we get to circle back to this story. Apparently, yes, none of these kids are even close to eligibility, close to even being able to have this deal, show off their skills. But also, one more fun fact is that Mr. Ball says that he could have beat MJ in his prime.
Okay,
so
well, there's
these have been
that.
Real
that
loud.
Dude, you know, these all, kids also crazy.
We'll just like grow up to be pro golfers or something. Like,
yeah,
or something totally different.
Anything opposite of basketball.
Yeah. What are the rules on this shoe deal? Can it be another sport?
TBD.
Or does it have to be basketball?
I was going to say tennis, but I was like, tennis guys endorse shoes.
Yeah, so. all athletes do endorse shoes. Yeah. All right, so we have to talk a little Tebow. It's been a while, but we do have to bring him into the conversation because on Wednesday, he had a legit game. He did not do his go to the wrong batter's circle, you know, get picked off at first base. Like, he got a couple of hits. He had a legit game. Gemma. Tim Tebow.
Yes.
Tim Tebow.
He had a game.
Yay.
He had himself a game.
Good for him. I mean,
did he go 3 for 3?
I don't think he did.
He had multiple hits.
He had multiple hits, though. I am, you know, good for him. Good for Tebow. My feeling about this is, like, I do not think it's worth a front page headline every time he does something, but I'm glad people have fun watching him do things. That's the point of baseball, right? Is
okay.
To enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, good for him. He's never going to be in the Mets. That's how I feel. But if you want to go watch him play baseball, great. Have fun doing that.
Bash.
Yeah. I mean, it is annoying. And the only reason why I want him to fail is so that I can stop hearing about it. But at the same time, if he does, then we'll just hear more. So I don't really know where I stand on this right now. I'm just, like you, Gemma, I'm tired of hearing about it. But again, he's having fun. He's doing things. People are forking over their dollars to see someone maybe do something great or fail terribly. So I guess you do whatever you want with your own money. And he's definitely not making the Mets, like you said.
But the
That's
way I feel
I
about it is, like, I don't really care if Tim Tebow is having fun. I do care if people are having fun watching Tim Tebow.
Fair.
Yes,
you know?
That's it.
Great
that's
point.
It.
So
yeah.
that's what it is to me. It's like, if you know, he makes the Cyclones – for some reason. Yeah. And people want to go pay $9, which I have. I go to Cyclones games and it's really fun. And yeah. Tim Tebow's there.
So
sure.
Fun.
Great. Awesome. But let's not cover him like he's a number one prospect because he's not. It's not going to happen.
Listen, he's giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
He is a people pleaser. And I think that Sandy Alderson pulled the right strings. Listen, I want to see Tim Tebow take the spot of someone who has spent a lot of time in the minor leagues, made peanuts? No, I don't. But you know what? If he continues on this streak, I'm not going to be upset about that fact. I want him to prove himself. I want to see him prove that he can make it in the right way.
We talked about this a little bit on the Cup Forecast, and Dakota had this point. That was like when Michael Jordan was in minor league ball.
Yes.
Like, he was on the bus every day. He was going to those games. He would take extra BP. He would be out there working all the time. And if I saw Tim Tebow putting in that level of effort, I'd be like, okay.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know what he does. He, goes to the SEC gig. I don't know. Right. I don't know what he does.
Yeah.
So I agreed with Dakota's point on that. But, again, the whole point to me is that if fans are enjoying it, then great.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Manny Ramirez, Manny being Manny, right? He did not sign a major league contract, but he did sign a baseball contract.
Oh, no.
And in that contract, he gets unlimited sushi, optional practice, a personal driver, unlimited sushi.
Great.
Guys, talk to me here.
This rules. What a great contract. If I was a baseball player, I would also demand unlimited sushi because what a great idea.
Ash?
He's playing for an independent club in Japan, by the way. It's not like he signed a minor league contract with the Cubs again and they were like, bring
nothing
on the
major
sushi.
League, nothing in the United States.
Yeah.
He is heading overseas.
And that's why I think it's different than Tebow, is because it's not here and it's like, sure, go ahead. I don't know why. That's so weird. I should be treating it the same way, but I absolutely do not. I think that's great. I think I would also put unlimited sushi in my contracts. And I'm going to put unlimited sushi in my future contract. So whatever next job I get, by MLB, just kidding, I'm not leaving. Then I will say, I'll do this for peanuts, but I just need unlimited sushi at all hours of the day.
You know,
good job, Manny.
It's a good point that it is kind of like Tebow, which is like what I said, is as long as fans are having fun, then great.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Yeah. As long as fans are having fun watching Tebow, great. Obviously, the point of Manny playing on this independent Japanese team is for fans to enjoy seeing Manny.
Absolutely.
Great. All around. Just
give
fun.
Him all the sushi he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, give the man what he wants.
He's so lucky.
Yeah. I feel like we're kind of seeing an unprecedented amount of fun right now. Would you agree with that?
You know, I feel like, yeah. I think that there is more acceptable to be open about
Let
how
your hair
fun
down.
This is. Yeah, instead of just this backwards idea of like, oh, it's a serious job. No, it's not. Playing a game. Let's all have fun all the time. And especially, I think that Japanese baseball fans really know how to enjoy themselves
Absolutely.
At a game. Singing songs, chanting chants. I don't know if you watched any of the WBC games in Japan, but like masks, costumes,
the most animated.
Thunder sticks.
Yeah.
And they're fans for every team. Like, there were these Japanese fans that were really into the Netherlands, and they and their whole family had like face letters, so they stood in a row and spelled things. It ruled. Like,
love it.
Have fun.
Big fan. Yes. Big fan. All right, we're going to close out the show with a little what would you do segment. Just name that one. Klay Thompson signed a toaster for a fan. So I want to know, if you could have one person sign something for you, the most crazy thing you could think of, what would you want signed?
That's really hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you the craziest thing that I have signed, and it's not that crazy, but then I'm going to tell you what I would want to get signed. Mm-hmm. The craziest thing I have signed is a goalpost. When Mizzou beat Oklahoma, they took down – Oklahoma was, like, number one, and they took them down. We rushed the field. They tore down the goalpost. We took them downtown in Columbia, and someone had a hacksaw and freaking hacksawed the pole, like, the most dangerous thing I've ever seen, and I took my piece, and I took it to the head coach, and I had him sign it. So that's not really bizarre, but the story of getting – that goalpost piece is super bizarre because I almost got my hand chopped off.
That's the most college story I've ever heard in
right?
my life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially, Midwest college story ever.
All right. I dig that. I don't – all right. Whatever.
I'm from the Midwest, too.
All right.
I'm married to the Midwest. Who cares? I love it.
I think, off the top of my head, the most bizarre thing I would ever have signed maybe would be, my butt cheek.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, Danny.
Yeah, Danny.
Not suitable for work.
Where are you going to do this?
I'm standing in front of everyone.
Wow, man. That got
Can we
you
say
went,
that
you
the
went
podcast?
For it. You went risque.
Sorry, Rena.
I vote we can say this on the podcast. Yes, we can say that. Okay, so I thought about this for a second. And the most important things to me when watching a sporting event, an important sporting event, is where I sit or where I stand, or because I need to be in the right place. So I think the craziest thing I would have signed is a piece of upholstery from the couch that I watched a championship on.
Oh,
and then I frame
clever.
It. That's
clever.
It's a good one, right? And now that I had to think about that, I'm like, I want this so badly. I'm just going to rip up all my couches. And
not
get
a butt. You don't want a butt cheek?
You can't save that.
Oh, well, I mean, a butt cheek doesn't last forever, you know?
Take a picture.
Just get a tattoo over it.
Get it tattooed on there.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Oh, that would trump all the fans who get the photos of their favorite player, like the signature, though.
True.
Guys.
True.
It's another level.
I mean, you know, you can actually just like look for a signature online for some kind of like sold memorabilia.
Oh wait, don't do that, because what if they get into some trouble later? You know.
Oh yeah, that's dangerous.
What if they get a little DV?
Fair enough.
Yeah. You don't want that on your butt cheek.
This guy I know just has Dave Navarro tattooed on his arm. Like nothing about Dave Navarro, just his name.
Just Dave.
And we're like, okay, that's cool that you like Dave Navarro and you like his music or whatever. But like, what if one day he does something terrible and then you have Dave Navarro tattooed on your arm?
All right, so kids, you know, don't do that. But anyone 18 or older, please feel free. All right, so that's going to do it for our podcast this week. We had so much fun. March Madness is kicking off, so we're going to have way more of that. We're going to have we're going to see what's happening with the U.S. women's hockey team. The World Baseball Classic is rounding up. It's not over yet, but they're getting near the end. So we'll see who makes it to the championship. And you know what? Like, more plantains. More plantains. Anyway, thanks, guys, so much. I'm Dani Wexelman with Gemma Kaneko, Ashley Chavez. This is Walk It Off. We're on iTunes. We're everywhere. Please hang out. Be our friend. Woo. Come listen. We'll talk to you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, Dominic.